We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Always a joy to talk to Tom Thayer. In fact, we're humiliated by his greatness. It makes all other men seem inferior. And Tom joins us now on the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Man, good to talk to you. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
We haven't spoken since Tevin Jenkins came back. What a joy to see the second round pick from last year rejoin the team. And I'm curious, Tom, what, if anything, have you seen from him?
You know, I've seen so little, I don't know what to think. Well, I was thinking about it when I was at practice going, he's got to stack practices. He's got to stack reps from one-on-ones to inside run to blitz pickup to teamwork. He's got to be on a regular rotation that you can evaluate him if he's fatigued to the point where he can barely get in his stance. All the little type of detail things that you need to learn about him, we still have to learn about him because he does not have enough evidence on tape that we can make a clear-cut decision what position he's the best fit for. Can he move up and down the line of scrimmage? Can he play, like I said, when he's exhausted? And so I'm glad he's out there. I'm glad he's part of the competitiveness of the positions. But, you know, like I said, he's got to stack, 150, 200, 300 type of teamwork reps before you get a real evaluation of what his skill set is.
Tom, of the offensive linemen who are stacking practices together, especially the ones we may not know much about, what kind of evidence are they putting on tape and who is standing out?
You know, the guy, I'm super impressed with Jatari Carter, number 69. He's offensive guard, and I was really impressed with his athleticism and his size and the strength that he showed even when they were in no pads, but he's doing it equally as well in pads, and I really like what I see out of him. I like the quickness in which Doug Kramer is playing with at the center position. I think Sam still gives him the most interior experience. However, I do think Kramer is really doing a nice job, and he plays with good leverage, good speed, and, good strength. And I like Braxton Jones. I didn't really know a lot about Braxton Jones. I didn't know what to think about him. Then he was up at the podium last week, and everything he said, everything he's learning, everything he takes from each individual practice, he's able to go out there and improve a little bit more each day. He uses his length really well. He knows how to guide an outside pass rusher to the longest path to the quarterback that he can possibly take. Those little types of details. You know, and I'm just kind of giving you, and even Zachary Thomas, the rookie guard, he's got good recovery. He understands the position. But, you know, you still have Cody Whitehair. Dude is probably having the best training camp that I've seen him have in the last 5 years. And I think it's still a little bit too early to see what Riley Reiff can add to this offensive line just because he needs to understand the offense a little bit better. I think the more reps he gets, the better in shape and condition he's going to be, just like Schofield. When you have veterans that have experience, they have a little bit of their memory Rolodex to choose from, depending on the down and distance the play called and what they're trying to accomplish on the offensive line.
Is Lucas Patrick a guard now? I mean, if his injury is bad enough that it keeps him out, your broken thumb, how are you going to have him snap when he returns?
I agree with you. I would stump him, and I would play him at offensive guard. And I was thinking about that even before the injury ever happened. How can they best put a cast around his thumb to keep his fingers out there so he still has a little grab ability with his fingers But if he can get out there and he can contribute and he can compete at the offensive guard position, I think it would still benefit the Bears the most. But, you know, I'm not sure about what his – does he have pins in his thumb? Where is he at with that? But I've always felt that he would be a better option at guard and let Sam and Kramer and the rest of these guys compete at the center position.
Tom, how would you evaluate the physicality of the practices with the Bears? Cole Kmet, we talked to Brad Biggs about what he had to say. Other players have noted how intense they are. From your perspective, old school Tom Thayer, what do you see and what do you like?
I like the physicalness of the practices, whether there are no pads or pads. I think, you know, they're out there. They're given, you know what, from everything, though, you know, David, it's not only like teamworks and stuff like that. For example, when you get the defensive line and they're going through their individual period, and these guys are going full speed. It's not like, you know, let's save ourselves for teamwork and just kind of get through the individual work. No, it's go as quickly as you possibly can. Do every single thing of the realistic speed that you would do in a game, even if it's an individual period. So to me, I like everything that they're doing on the lines of scrimmage, both offense and defense. Justin Jones, I like what he's doing at the three technique defensive tackle. Chris Morgan, the new offensive line coach, I like the way that he has these offensive linemen when they have combination blocks. They're properly fit. They don't hit each other. They both hit the defensive line and then move up to the second level. And from the tight ends to every one of their assignments, from an H-back position to a fullback to a moving tight end to an on-the-line-of-scrimmage tight end, I like what they've been doing. And then when you take the individual drills of running backs against linebackers, it's encouraging to see that what the linebackers have to do in space and how many job requirements there are for the running back. So I do like it, and it's going to be interesting to see how it transfers to the regular season. I'm not, you know, caught up in what it's going to look like next Saturday, but come San Francisco, you know, the other day I was reading an interview by the San Francisco head coach, and he says, I don't want my players to be illegal. I want them to be irritating. And that's kind of like the mantra that George Kittle, the tight end, has taken on in how well he blocks downfield and stuff. I like that term, and that's the same thing I would like to see by the Bears.
Tom, when we look at their weaponry, there are three guys that were out of practice, and they're pretty much guys that represent every way of improving a team. You got Byron Pringle, who was a free agent. They signed him to a one-year deal. I know he's 28 years old. And Keel Harry, and Pringle's got apparently a quadriceps issue, which will keep him out for a few weeks. And Keel Harry has the dreaded high ankle sprain. That's a guy from the trade market, seventh round pick. And we know Velus Jones has missed a few days here. And he was a draft pick. That's representative of all the ways of building a team. And unfortunately, we were worried about the receiving core to begin with, and now guys missing time. How concerned should the Bears be about that?
Well, you know, like you said, I heard you talking about it earlier, the high ankle sprain. That thing could be 4 weeks to 10 weeks, and you never know. It's all about the pain threshold of the position and the player and how they can absorb and accept it and play with it. And I get a little leery about quad injuries, too, because they're not that frequent. But, you know, a quad injury can linger or else it can be healed up. And I think the guy that demonstrates the most explosive speed on the field to me thus far has been Pringle. He's the type of guy that can run away from defensive backs, separate himself, and put him in a real comfortable catching position for any quarterback. But, you know, you still got Darnell Mooney. You got EQ St. Brown that, you know, these two guys that I think were probably considered at the top tier of the receiver position thus far. And Velus Jones, let's just hope it's a minimal setback that gets him back on the field, because as competitive as each position is and the determining factors that Ryan Poles and each position coach is trying to put in to see where you really fall when these roster decisions are made, you got to get back on the field as healthy and as quickly as possible. So the one that scares me the most would be N'Keal Harry, because we know the least about him, and he seems to have a big upside. But if you're not on the field and, you know, developing that understanding and that timing and that tempo with a young quarterback, it could be a major setback for him. So, you know, the next man up mantra that they've always preached here, it's never more evident than right now when you have a number of guys sitting out practices.
Yeah, one of those guys is Roquan Smith. He's on the PUP list. I think that is by design because he's in the midst of a contract dispute. And I wonder, Tom, if you're a veteran on this team, how are you viewing this? Because you know it's going to be a tough season. You know you need as much talent as possible on the field. And you know what Roquan Smith means to this defense and this team. Where's this headed? And if you're a Chicago Bear veteran, how do you feel about it?
You know, that's the business side of the things that we've always had to accept, even through our time, whether it been Singletary or McMichael or Hamp or whomever it was, even Horn at one time held out a little bit. So, you know, you just kind of live with the business side of it. If you're a veteran and you stay out of it, if it doesn't affect you, but I, you know, to me, if Roquan's on the field, standing there doing the learning part of it, if he's not in the building behind closed doors or some secret location doing, if, you know, that's the thing about it. If he is PUP and if he is injured and he can't do a lot, then that's going to, you know, tell you a lot of it. Because if he's not injured and he can go in the building, I hope he's conditioning like an active player. So when all this does get resolved, he can go right on the field within a day or two. And if he has 10 days of practice before the first regular season game, I'm okay with that. And I wish that all these hold-ins around the league, when they go to that afternoon walkthrough practice, I wish the hold-ins could take part in that to make sure that they're mentally up to speed on every single detail of what they're required to know by the time the first game gets here. So the business side of it, if I was a veteran on the team, I would just hope that it would get resolved quickly. And if he is injured, I hope he's going to be 100% by the time the regular season gets here, if they do get this thing resolved.
Tom, you know, when we were trying to pick who the most impactful rookie will be, I was thinking that it could be Kyler Gordon because of his athleticism, his size. He's going to be in the nickel and maybe move outside. Well, he's having a hard time getting on the field. He's missed the last few practices.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, as much as we hear Alan Williams saying, boy, is he out there preparing. I mean, he's not taking it light when he can't practice. He's in doing his work. That's all fine and well. But if you're not able to line up, I don't know how you have any impact.
Yeah, I mean, job requirement number one is to make sure that you get yourself individually prepared, whether it's in the classroom or what you can do physically to make sure that you're on that trajectory that they've already set for you. To me, the most impactful rookie so far is Jaquan Brisker, even if Kyler Gordon was out there, because if you give some substance to the interior of that defense, you're really good showing good coverage skills. Jaquan Brisker against Cole Kmet is really up to the challenge in all of his other responsibilities. You know, thankfully, you know, they got to get Kendall Vildor, they got to get Duke Shelley, they got to get every one of these corners back at practice to make the decision-making for the defensive coordinator and the defensive back coach a difficult one if you really got some positive reps with these guys. The worst thing you want to do, I think, going into the first regular season game would be starting someone just by default. And I don't think that would help the defensive backfield. And, you know, hopefully they can get this situation taken care of, see where Thomas Graham Jr. is eventually, and then have the best players on the field at the most meaningful time, and that's September 11th.
You know, Tom, I got a kick out of I think Pro Football Talk this morning had a story about Justin Herbert, the Charger quarterback, has yet to play in a preseason game at all.
And he won't this year.
And he won't this year either. And it made me think of, you know, Justin Fields and the Bears approach, and Matt Eberflus suggests that the starters will play. And I think there's a big difference between being a top five quarterback in the league and a guy, frankly, who's probably closer to the bottom five right now until he proves something. How do you feel about the starting offense and Fields specifically getting time against the Chiefs on Saturday in a preseason game that really doesn't mean anything?
I guess it doesn't mean anything if you're in, talked about in a playoff position. I think it means a lot when you're trying to, you bring in a new coaching staff and you're seeing, I need to see my players tackle. I need to see my offensive linemen make combination blocks from the first level to the second level. I need to see timing by the quarterback inside the offense to see if he runs the tempo at the line of scrimmage that is going to really help your offense and challenge the defense. You listen, man, you got three preseason games. You're not going to play a ton. You have a limited amount of full contact practices that you can have in the course of training camp. So I'm a big believer that you play the starters as much as you see fit as a head coach. So you're not telling me 2 or 3 weeks into the regular season, oh, you know, these guys are finally up to speed. They're finally getting the tempo of the regular season. That's a bunch of baloney. You got to be ready to play week one, and you got to be ready to play at a full speed tempo of the regular season. Don't tell me that, okay, we're going to split the season up into four quarters, and, you know, the first quarter you get acclimated to the speed. No, you got to be ready to roll, you know, by September 11th, and you got to be ready to roll full speed. And if you're in a position that you're required to play 60 to 75 reps, that you then you have to be in that type of physical condition.
Tom, we'll let you go. In an interview with Peter King, Justin Fields said that Luke Getsy is the best QB coach he's ever had, ever. And David loved it, thought they were developing a good chemistry, and I was a little... I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. I got to see that.
Well, I do think that the experience that Luke has had in the last couple of years with Green Bay and with everyday conversations with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers can teach Luke as much as Luke can teach Aaron Rodgers. And that information is transferable. So now when you're installing these types of reps that have been super successful for you, no matter what the down and distance is, I think that that has good transfer. I do think that you can sit there and teach by example from Luke to Justin. And then the more times Justin hears it, the better understanding. And then he starts coaching himself. And I think that's a real important phase in professional football. And Coach Stanfield used to say it all the time. He goes, don't look for me to coach you in every detail. Once you get the experience, you have to start coaching yourself. And hopefully that is something that Luke brings to Justin. And I think Trevor Siemian is a good, nothing against Peterman, but I think Trevor Siemian is probably a good sounding board in those meetings because of the traits that he has and the things that he's learned throughout his experience in the NFL.
Great stuff, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, man. See you guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.